Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're speaking about a subject that resonates across Indian country, and it resonates across cultural lines. We're speaking about a subject that is on top of everyone's list when they're wanting to maximize what's really of value. The subject today is happiness. And to help us in that dialogue is someone who's really devoted her life to helping others enhance that very principle of happiness in life. Her name is Kita Spock. Kita, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, David. I'm pleased to be here.
Kita, I am so excited that you're on our show, and we talk about many subjects on American Indian Living, and the topic of happiness is one that directly relates to our health physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Tell us how you got on this journey, Kita.
Well, David, as I've been known to say, I wasn't finding happiness, or it certainly wasn't finding me. And for that reason, I chose to explore, to go into a bit of a journey. And I'll take this back a little bit further. I had a couple of very personal crisis-oriented situations in my life. And I think we all have these kind of things, these kind of milestones, where we realize that the situation we're in, perhaps the person we're with, the job we're at, David, is not fitting us.
Mm-hmm.
And in that missing element, that feeling of hollowness, at least that's what I was feeling in my case, that feeling empty, caused me, first of all, to make the statement, to admit to myself that I was unhappy. And that's a big one. That's a big step to take when you self say, I am unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, David, I moved to try to understand what had brought me to my situation. And from there, I realized that in examining the situation and working through the process, if you like, that there actually are steps that one can take to be happier or to find more contentment in life. So that's what caused me, from a personal perspective, to move through about 4 to 5 years of examination, introspection, research, prayer, meditation, and simply the amazing curiosity, the fascination of what makes people tick, and above all, what makes them happy.
Well, what's exciting to me, Kita, is just reading your material. It's obvious that you've actually connected with things that have enhanced your own happiness, and you're sharing that with other people. Help us connect with some of those very factors.
All right. Well, I think the big thing here, first of all, David, is it's interesting. Before you can connect, you almost have to disconnect. In order to appreciate where one is in life, and I know all your listeners out there can appreciate this quite well, sometimes you have to take a time out. You have to actually disconnect yourself from the busyness, the distractions, the schedule, the daily routine you are in order to listen to yourself from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
So once you take this time out, David, you can sit back and you can actually start to hear yourself. And that hearing, that inner voice that is within you, will be probably telling you, hinting at you, that maybe something is not quite right. And as I say, when these kind of signals come through to us from the inside, this is the first step toward actually being aware and then starting that self-discovery, starting that self-inventory.
What I find fascinating about your writing, and many of our listeners may be familiar with either your blog or some of your books, we can talk about those in just a minute, is that you really do speak a lot about this value that I think is deeply ingrained in Indian country, but it seems to be missed in contemporary culture. It seems like when we have free time on our hands, we don't value that time for introspection. If you told someone that this past weekend you'd taken a lot of time to just reflect and be alone, the average person would say, oh my, it's terrible. Hey, listen, if things are that boring for you, Keita, why don't you give me a call? We can go out to a show. We can go out together. Is this the kind of dialogue that your observations often promote, at least initially?
Absolutely, David. You've hit the nail on the head. In terms of taking quiet time, in terms of being still, in terms of having that moment or moment of meditation, in taking that time out, it actually means that you do withdraw. And for the most part, our society, and I dare say Western culture as opposed to the Native tradition, people are so accustomed to being busy and working that they are more of a culture of doers than they are beers. In other words, one is not being in life, one is simply doing in life. And the aspect of overdoing, in other words, working to the point of overwhelmedness, this is simply, as we all can see, symptomatic of a society, of an environment that is really unhealthy psychologically, physically, and spiritually.
You, in one of your blog posts, I was interested to see this whole subject of reflection and kind of standing back and looking at things with fresh eyes, I think, as you put it, Keita. You were speaking about having read at one point Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and then you picked that book up again. Tell us a little bit about your reaction as you described it to your readers, and then how this fits in with the whole dialogue.
Well, you know, David, that particular book I read about four, five years ago again, it was one of many books that I was reading and continue to read in order to understand fully and appreciate the context in which we all live. And I gleaned from that book a number of very interesting principles. Obviously, living on purpose is something we all strive for.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, living on purpose does allow us to be happier. And perhaps we'll go back to that topic once I've finished with this question. But it is interesting, when I picked up the book again, and I picked it up just this last month, now that's a few years that have gone by, it is interesting, David, that with the more awareness that I've developed, hopefully developed, in my study, that I am now picking up different angles, different perspectives. Perhaps there are different words that are jumping out at me from Rick's book that didn't before. And I maintain that all of us really need some time to revisit, whether it's a book, whether it's a workplace, whether it's a relationship, whether it's even our own sense of where we're going in our careers, to really understand that in our evolution, we actually then gain different perspectives. We enjoy a better or even more extensive world view of what it is or what is our life. And for that reason, revisiting what may have happened in the past or what was created in the past, done in the past, may sometimes be very healthy. And may I just qualify here, revisiting the past, I am not suggesting that one go back and live in it. Sometimes a resource, a wise person, who perhaps you will appreciate more now, may be the person to see when you can fully understand their giftedness.
Well, Keita, I'm thinking of many of our listeners who may be tuning in today, and this show airs on a variety of networks, a variety of stations. People are going to be hearing it at different times of day even. There may be people listening to this program that you and I are recording right now, and they're at a point in their life where they don't see anything happy at all. They're getting a message from you that they need to take some time apart. They need to have some time to refocus. And they may say, I've done all that and things don't look very bright to me. Where is this silver lining? How do you respond to that, Kita?
First of all, say that that is it's a difficult question. It's a difficult challenge for someone who is in a situation where their life seems to be offering nothing but difficulties. And when that is happening, what we are taking in is obviously forms of negativity. In other words, the situations that we're faced with aren't bringing us contentment or happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And in this respect, it is extremely important, again, when I say taking things in from the outside, first of all, the changeover has to be, David, not from assuming that that external situation or person has got to change in order to make us happy. If we are continually looking outside to find an answer to why we feel the way we do inside, we're going to have difficulties because the resolution won't be found there. Ultimately, and this is where the mystery and the beauty and perhaps even the pain of life shows itself, we need to go inside in order to look at ourselves fully. And in looking at ourselves fully, we then can do inventory. And that inventory will involve looking at things that are painful about ourselves, looking at things that are good about ourselves. And once that is done, the next leap of faith, if you like, is being able to take life not as a given. I am owed this. This didn't work out. Everything goes wrong. I'm not happy because he did this to me. That kind of talk, that kind of self-talk is very destructive. Because to be happy, David, one has to take responsibility. One has to be accountable for one's own life. And what this means is, you, in saying, okay, I'm going to try to be a happy person, you have to, above all else, be the one who's in the driver's seat, be the one who accepts responsibility for whatever is going on around you. Because ultimately, even though it may seem difficult, what is going around you is mirroring who you are or what you're doing. And sometimes what is going on around you is actually there to teach you. It's there to teach you how to live your life better.
So, Kita, this sounds like a powerful concept, because what I hear you saying is many people simply are not happy because they're blaming everyone else for their problems, and when you do that, you're never in the driver's seat.
That's absolutely right. And the thing is, our happiness is seen to be so light and airy and fairy and all those lovely little words. But happiness, in terms of what it does for you, is a very deep, it's a very powerful state. It also has probably one of the greatest emotions with it, or the greatest characteristics about it. It contains truth.
Hmm.
And without truth in your life, there won't be any happiness. So that journey to getting to be happy involves uncovering in ourselves what I've talked about, perhaps even dispensing with beliefs, rituals, a routine, schedules that no longer do us good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not somebody else telling us that, hey, Tita, that doesn't work for you, you should try something else. It's us making that kind of a discovery for ourselves.
Keita, this is fascinating, and I know you've got some practical illustrations for us, some stories that will really draw us in and draw everyone from Indian country and beyond into the dialogue even more. We've got a lot more practical information how you can increase happiness in your life. Keita Shpak is staying by. You stay by too. We'll be back with more on American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like Dr. Juan Carlos Belliard with Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth. The Gateway Program, offering American Indian youth from throughout the country a sponsored 3-week residential program to introduce them to healthcare careers. The Gateway Program, an essentially free program that is part of Loma Linda University's CAPS programming, Community Academic Partners in Service. Online at llu.edu or by phone at 909-651-5011. Again, 909-651-5011. That's Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth, a proud partner of American Indian Living.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today on policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people and full of people. Full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose with Keita Shpak. We're speaking about the subject of happiness and whether you're just rejoicing right now that things are going so great in your life, or whether you say, I really need this show, give me some more practical information. I think you're going to be excited about this next segment. Keita, you were going to tell us some, I think, some very engaging illustrations that really make all this very practical. But before we do that, I know some people are listening while they're driving. They might hear just part of the show. You've got some great resources on the internet. Tell my listeners how they can take advantage of those.
Oh, certainly, David. Well, I think the best place to go is my website. That's keitashpak.com. I'm going to spell that for you all. K-I-T-A, and then my last name, Shpak, spelled S as in Sam, Z as in zebra, P as in Peter, A-K as in kite. So keitashpak.com, and if you go there, you're going to see that I've conducted some telesummits. I have a gentle message newsletter that I send out every week on Monday mornings that might be of use to some of the listeners. Very, very short, but tends to set you up nicely for the week. My book's there, as well as children's book and my latest book, The Simple Life, Shiny Objects Not Required, just come out. If you click on the book, you'll be able to see where it can be purchased, as well as it'll give you a little description of what it's all about, too.
Great, Keita. And I think anyone listening who's got an ear for accents realizes that you're accent sounds like it's coming from somewhere north of the U.S. border. Is that a safe conclusion?
That's a very safe conclusion, David. I'm in Canada, and just to fill in a little bit, my parents are Polish, and I was actually born in London, England, and came to Canada as a little girl.
Okay, well, very good. And I know you have interactions with Aboriginal peoples there in Canada, as well as speaking to people across cultural lines here in the lower 48 and out into Alaska. I mean, people know your work throughout the world, really, don't they?
They certainly do, and I've had the opportunity and the pleasure of getting emails from people all over Europe, from South America, even as far as Hawaii and the Far East, in terms of reaching out, and I welcome that, David. There is, of course, a contact KETA page on my website, so that if anyone has any question, maybe even wanting a little bit of an insight on an issue, I do free 15-minute strategy calls. And sometimes that little glimmer, that little third person coming in, somebody who's not as close to an issue or a problem, can really help to lighten the load, can help to raise that awareness that that individual may be seeking.
Well, that's tremendous. So someone can actually, through your website, connect with you and actually have a little one-on-one conversation?
Yes, we can set that up through the email, you know, set up a date and time, and then I'd be very happy to have an initial free consult for 15 minutes. And if somebody is overseas or is in Hawaii now or is in perhaps in Alaska where the phone connection may be an issue, I don't think so, but if that could be the case, I'm certainly available on Skype as well.
Great. So let me give you that spelling of your name again, the last name. That's a tough one. S-Z-P-A-K. I've got it right.
Yeah. Do you know what that means in English?
So it's actually a Polish term?
The Polish birth name. It means starling.
Starling?
It's a starling. And interestingly enough, I have to tell you this, David, and your listeners. Your name or nickname is very, very, very important. My name, KETA, is actually a nickname, and it stayed with me all my life. It's on my driver's license. It's on my passport. And initially, the word starling is bird, starling.
Uh-huh.
But then I put it apart and I said, I'm also, or could be, a starling.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, someone who is hoping to bring messaging to others. And I'm seeing through my name that I indeed am perhaps blessed and am looking to bring purpose to my life by helping others.
You know, I appreciate you mentioning that, KETA, because in the majority culture, we would say today, across cultural lines, people don't value names. But if you look at traditional Native American culture, if you look at traditional Middle Eastern culture, I mean, people who are familiar with the Bible, for example, names have so much meaning in these indigenous cultures throughout the world. And sometimes we're very cavalier with what we call ourselves or what we call others. And I hear you saying, be careful what you call yourself and the names you use for other people. Am I reading a little too much into your comments?
No, not at all. The fact of the matter is, David, if you ended up or have ended up with a nickname or an endearment, someone calls you, or you've chosen to change your name because it makes you feel better, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Added to that, that extension is, for those of you out there, you may go back to the date you were born, and I would advise you to look up what was going on that day.
Hmm.
Because if there was an important event, if there was an important, even somebody who was popular or famous had passed away, there is a connection between why you are born on a certain day, because perhaps it may mean that there are reasons for you to come into life when someone else has left it. One doesn't know. But these are things to look into. because they help piece together who you are. And of course, if we come back to the whole idea of happiness, the more we know of ourselves, the better people we can be.
Now, Kia, what you've just shared is fascinating to me, and I'm looking at it from many different perspectives. I know some people could be saying, well, this is a very spiritual perspective, that it has to do with purpose and some kind of greater plan and maybe a creator or a grand design. But I can see even the person who says, look, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I don't believe there's any superior being, but on just a medical level, this is a new thought for me. So I'm checking it out with you, Kita. You can say, Dr. DeRose, David, you know, you're just out in left field. But I'm thinking, even someone who says there is no supernatural purpose, there's nothing beyond yourself. I know, as a physician, that the circumstances, and you know this as just a mother, the circumstances happening around a woman's pregnancy have a role in when she delivers, right?
Right.
So if nothing else, something happens in the world or something happens in your mother's life, and that's the context into which you're born, there's a direct connection there that, I'll be honest with you, in my own personal case, I've never went back and looked at what was going on that particular day that I was born.
What makes it fun, David, is we're all fascinated by ourselves. I rarely met a person who isn't curious about, you know, what's my sign, on the Chinese horoscope, what am I? We all like to know. We all like to know about ourselves because there's so much mystery about why we're here and who we are. So obviously we're trying to figure this all out. In this way, this going back to allows us, and we're all, if you like, micros, we're all very small, but it puts us in the context of what is big in this world and what is macro, and how we, the little dot in the center of the blank canvas, fit on that canvas. If there's no framework around it, chances are we get very lost. You know, you're reaching out all over the place, but there's nothing in front of you or behind you. As soon as you frame yourself, going back to your birth date and history and on that day, is a way of doing that, examining your belief system and then reframing the belief system or the rituals or the routines that you're now realizing may not be working for you is another way of reframing your personal canvas.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kita, I promised in this segment a story, and we've got about a minute left in this segment. Tell us that story about the seashore when you were a child.
I was a little girl, about 4 years old, and I was bound and determined to catch a seagull along the shoreline. And of course, the adults told me, and I was a little girl ready to do what I needed to do. They said, well, if you pour salt on the seagull's tail, you'll be able to catch it. And so I was all day. Oh, I thought, this is great, because I've been running after them all morning and nothing's happened. So of course I went bounding out with the salt shaker. And lo and behold, running, could not catch that seagull for the life of me. Very, very frustrated, very, very sad, very, very angry. I was a fairly pugnacious little girl. Anyway, what is interesting is I liken that search or that chase after the seagull as the search or the chase after happiness.
Mm.
One could be going in ad infinitum to do that, and perhaps after we finish, get into the next segment, we'll talk about the fact that one cannot chase down happiness.
Great message. We want to draw some of the lessons from that, and I know you got some other great illustrations, but we've got to slip away just for a couple of minutes. I'm Dr. David DeRose, Kita Spock, my guest, trying to help you from whatever cultural, spiritual background you're coming from to give you some new insights into how you can enhance the happiness in your life and in the lives of those around you. Don't go away. We've got more to come.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free. My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose and Keita Shpak, the show American Indian Living. The topic, happiness. How can we get in touch with something that often seems so elusive? Before we had to slip away, Keita, you were sharing with us that story from your childhood where you were trying to catch that seagull. You never caught it, but did you have a miserable time on the seashore that day?
I most certainly did not, in the sense that I was exasperated and frustrated trying to catch the seagull. But then, and this is wonderful, this is why kids are the way they are, for whatever reason, that one disappointment did not color the rest of the situation.
Mm.
I love being outside, I still do. The whole summer day, in and of itself, was exquisite. And I remember it so. And isn't it interesting, David, that as we move forward in life, we sometimes get layered with incidents, accidents, situations, challenges. And so the coloring, instead of staying nice and clear and blue and sunny, starts to get shadowed, starts to get layered with grays, sometimes black. And these colors are representative of all those things that may have happened to us that have not been so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it is the objective here in striving to be someone who has well-being, well-being as in being well, is someone who looks at the whole picture. Think of that framework in your canvas. And is not closing in and focusing only on what went wrong or what was crummy that day or is not working out with the boss today, but looking at the whole day, looking at the morning you came into the office and you got a great smile from the receptionist or the fact that a bunch of you went out for lunch, so that the boss's, that interaction is then subdued. It is decreased in its value and in its propensity to be on the stage of your mind.
Keita, I so appreciate what you're saying because so many things happen to every one of us every single day, and we're really the ones who choose what we're going to focus on by and large, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
What's interesting, furthermore, is as I look at the big picture and as I deal with people as a physician, I many times have people who are understandably preoccupied with certain physical conditions. And the interesting thing to me as we're speaking about happiness is some of the people I've met who I would say are some of the happiest people I've seen were individuals with terminal illnesses, where somehow they had been able to transcend that consuming focus. And I say consuming focus because many people, when they get a serious diagnosis, they become overwhelmed with it. But they were able to do what you're saying, not focus on the bad prognosis of their disease, and instead start looking at the positive things, and it just transforms everything, doesn't it?
It certainly does, because with that refocusing on the positive or on the good stuff, if you will, the next step to that is giving thanks.
Mm.
is having gratitude. If I were going to offer anyone the single one formula for moving toward a more contented life, then I would recommend that someone every morning and every night think about the things they have to be thankful for, despite, in spite, anything else that's going on in their lives at that time. That every morning when you wake up, you think of, what have I got to be thankful for? First of all, I'm in a bed. I get to sleep somewhere. I've got all my limbs. I'm healthy. I'm getting up to go to work. I have a job. I have someone beside me whom I love, or is a partner to me who supports me. Bang, you've got three or four things there right away.
And you know, Keita, the crazy thing is, you know, you've just given this list of examples, and there's people listening, and the only thing that they heard was you were thankful for having both your limbs when they don't have one, or you were mentioning thankfulness for a partner that they don't have. I'm just saying, isn't that crazy that we tend to hear the things that we don't have and tend to focus on that?
Yeah, it is interesting from a neurological point of view. David Rock, maybe somebody you've heard of, David, has investigated the whole neuroscience quite extensively. And even in someone like Martin Seligman in Positive Psychology, our reptilian brain is basic to our functioning and to our survival. It also has the last word, or shall I say first word, in deciding what we think about. And our brain, our primitive brains, have been designed for survival. And so they will default to the negative first before the positive, because the negative is usually perceived to be something that is either dangerous or injurious to us that we're to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of our biology. And for that reason, we have a little bit going against us as human beings, because in order for us to survive, our brains default to our survival. In other words, the fight-flight reflex before we, will take time to pause and give thanks.
Now, this is interesting, and we've talked off-air, Keita, about the diversity of the listeners on American Indian Living, whether they've come on air, we used to do a live talk show format, or whether they're tuning in today in our pre-recorded format that we've done for a number of years. It's interesting because some are just tracking right along with you. They say, okay, you know, the primitive brain and, you know, we've evolved over millions of years. And others are saying, hey, wait a minute. We were created by a loving creator and, this is the result of sin. It doesn't really matter as far as the dynamics, whether this is something that's developed over millions of years of evolution or whether we've been around for a very short time and it's the work of a creator, the good, and there's evil because of an enemy. We're talking about a dynamic that's playing itself out in the human brain regardless of what a person's perspective is on how we got here, right?
Of course. And the thing is, what is interesting here is we all know there is good and evil. We all know that the negative and the positive are present by the virtue of the fact that polarities exist in life, David, as you and I know. So that the manifestation, or how the manifestation takes place, is in a way fully respectful of the person who is believing one aspect or another. And both in the great scheme of things are correct.
Well, Keita, let me try to recap a little, because one of the things I always want to do is say, what have we been learning? Here's what I've been hearing. I've heard you say one of our problems is we don't take enough time for reflection. We need to be in touch. And if there's things in our life, things in our worldview that aren't working for us, we have to feel free to let those things go, to be open to seeing things with new eyes. I then heard you say, Keita, and we've just been speaking about this, we need to focus on the positive. We need to see, even in those situations where I don't catch the seagull, or when things go bad at work, or even when I just wake up in the morning, the first thing, I need to focus on the positive, no matter how crazy things are in my life. I'm hearing these as two big overarching things that I think any listener could put into practice, but it seems like I'm missing some things yet in that equation, because you've been sharing a number of practical insights. So help me out.
Okay. Well, the thing is, in terms of happiness, first of all, it's not an absolute. And in that respect, each of us, because we are unique, and in our own way, we are all individuals. Therefore, one thing to remember, one person's idea of happiness is not another. The way I feel or the way I can be happy is not the way perhaps that you can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because each of us are here in order to move along our lives on purpose and to find that individual happiness, to have that individual happiness that we all so much deserve. The big thing here is how, and the how has to, in one way, come through that idea of the fact that life is sacred, that we certainly are not owed anything.
Mm-hmm.
We are given life as a gift. And when we can appreciate our lives as such, then our capability and ability to give thanks and be grateful is automatically increased. The idea that, wow, I'm here and I'm the only person that is me. How is it that I got to be like this? How is it that I am here and have this amazing journey in front of me? There is, as we've just discussed and as I've referred to, there are scientific investigations about happiness.
Right.
That's why it's becoming such a more important topic, because it's no longer, as I said earlier, airy-fairy. There is measurement in how a happiness affects us and what it makes us like and how important it is in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That aside, that scientific investigation and the studies that are going on, and et cetera, to me, they pale in comparison to the emotional state, to the mystery, and to the loveliness of what happiness is. And I'm hoping the listeners can appreciate that. Because if one is considering happiness as a commodity, as I want to get happiness like I want to get another car, then they're missing the mark.
This is really an exciting topic, and for someone who's been in medicine for many years, the emphasis was so much for so long on negative psychology. Now, as you mentioned, there's this whole positive psychology movement. You've mentioned some of the notable figures in that arena, but you're saying we got to transcend that. We've got to realize we're not just talking about something that has a profound effect on our health, on our outlook, on our social connections, but you're saying this is something that we can enjoy in the present regardless of what else is happening in our life. And I think that's a message that resonates with everybody who's tuning into the show.
For sure, David. I think, too, you see, when one person is happy, that's contagious. If you go into a group of people and you've got someone who is bubbling, someone who's enthusiastic, obviously a lover of life, if you like,
mm-hmm.
Their behavior is very contagious. On the other hand, I have to say that negativity can be contagious too.
Mm-hmm.
So that I also advise those who are looking to see how they can be more of a well-being person. It's important that if there is a situation or a person that can be avoided, that is overly negative, that mm-hmm. is bringing you down, then that may be the way to go for a while,
mm-hmm.
to have that person perhaps appreciate that you would prefer them to be in better spirits, more optimistic,
mm-hmm.
to be someone who views life with a cup half full as opposed to half empty.
Well put, Keita, well put. We've got to slip away, but we've got a final segment coming up. I know you've got some great insights, and we've also got some exciting information about Keita Spaak's new book, some practical insights, some other things that you can do. Don't go away. We'll be back with more on American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like Dr. Juan Carlos Belliard with Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth. The Gateway Program, offering American Indian youth from throughout the country a sponsored 3-week residential program to introduce them to healthcare careers. The Gateway Program, an essentially free program that is part of Loma Linda University's CAPS programming, Community Academic Partners in Service. Online at llu.edu or by phone at 909-651-5011. Again, 909-651-5011. That's Loma Linda University's Gateway Program for Native Youth, a proud partner of American Indian Living.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. Keita Spock with me, seeing out the show. Keita, this has been an exciting show, speaking about practical things that can really increase our happiness. And I've got to tell you, I alluded to this during the break. I know you're a woman who believes in fitness. I know you run marathons. Is exercise something? We know it's something that's closely guarded in Native cultures. Is exercise part of the equation for optimal happiness?
Oh, definitely, David. And you've got me talking about a very favorite topic. Yes, I am a marathoner. I spend a lot of time outside. And again, just to segue into exercise, if you can, and you, again, all listeners, spend time outside, whether it is in exercise or in movement in nature, you are doing your body and your mind great good, because it's almost like a, I consider it a balm, a B-A-L-M, balm of nature, that it actually is a remedy, it actually is a soother, it actually is like going into a bit of a massage when you are outside, in the sun, in nature, because that interchange that occurs between you and what is around you is amazing, and it will do wonders to making you feel calmer. It'll also probably lower your blood pressure because you'll start breathing more deeply rather than shallowly. And of course, if you take this further and start doing some walking, some running, some cycling, some swimming, any of those things, then of course the body is, I think, rejoicing.
Well, so exercise, I've seen in my own life, is just extremely powerful, and I've seen it in my patients' lives, and you're telling us really, as you've worked with people on this whole equation of focusing on joy and happiness, it just keeps coming out on top to get outside in nature. Not that there's anything against the health club, but there's something special when you're out there in a real environment, isn't there?
There certainly is, and I mean, even from a running point of view, and if you want to get literal about this, you burn more calories running outside than you do on the treadmill. Because, of course, you've got wind resistance, you've got uneven road work, whatever the case may be, but the fact of the matter is you do burn more. And I think the whole idea of communing, and I know your listeners out there understand that word, and it's a word that doesn't arise very often. But my sense of it is, David, that in our society today, the idea of communing, of being around greenery, of being in the environment, is one of those things that is sadly lacking.
No, I think people throughout Indian country can relate to that. Although some of my listeners have been raised in an urban environment, they really are not in touch with those traditional roots that their elders were raised in. They've maybe never spent time on a reservation or in a more rural setting. But at the same time, I think most all of us, if we've had a chance to be at all out in a more natural setting, we see that there's something especially healing and invigorating in those environments.
Yes, certainly. And those that are in an urban center, good for you that you go to a health club or a gym.
Good point.
Because the one thing certainly about exercise, it's not a once in a while thing. The benefits of exercise only begin to show when there is regularity in the repetition of that exercise. So that instead of going once a week or twice a week and running, doing something for over 60 minutes, over an hour, and then feeling hurt and having to take time off, it's better to try to do 10 to 15 minutes daily than to try to stuff all your exercise at one time.
No, excellent point. Excellent point. You have included, as I understand, exercise as one of the key elements in living, and you've got a new book that speaks about it. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, thank you, David, for this opportunity. My new book is called The Simple Life, Shiny Objects Not Required. And in essence, it speaks to the cluttered life that we all live, inside and out. We're cluttered inside, we're cluttered outside, and the book helps people who have very busy, overscheduled lives to sort of move away from that kind of dynamic into a more purposeful, measured, calm and peaceful existence. Doesn't that sound good?
No. You definitely got a lot of us listening.
Yeah, and very quickly, what makes the book good, it's very simple and it's short, so that each of the six chapters is broken down into the word simple. S-I-M-P-L-E, each letter is one chapter, and under each letter there are key elements that we need to pay attention to make our lives easier in the sense of being happier. Interestingly enough, the letter E in simple in the book stands for exercise and eating.
Okay. So exercise is going to emerge as an important concept in living this simple, fulfilling life.
Correct. And I've always used the term getting rid of the yucky. And if I were going to be that proponent of exercise as I am, if any of you are feeling stressed, if your bodies are full of tension, you feel as if you're in an overload, then that walk, that swim in the pool, that jog is going to do more for you to alleviate, to de-stress what you're feeling than anything else I can think of.
Help us with some of these other insights that you have in the simple mnemonic or acronym. Can you give us some of the other high points?
Well, certainly the first letter, S, is for sleep and for sex. So sleeping is important, as is close intimacy with someone you love, and that's talked about. The I stands for me, myself, and I. So I tend to, in that chapter, deconstruct the I. What am I all about? And how am I important without being an egoist? And then moving on to M is about the mind and mindfulness. P, planning and playing. L, for looking, for laughing, and for loving. So it's jam-packed.
And yet it's simple, and I'll walk away with many practical insights.
Absolutely, yeah.
Kita, there's one thing that might be on the back of a lot of people's minds who've been listening. You actually allude to this if folks are tuning in and they've read some of your materials, but I remember reading something of yours, I think it's from your blog or one of these weekly posts that you have, where you spoke about a particularly busy day in your life. There were things happening, people getting married, and there was a death and a loved one, I think it might have been your godmother. And in that context, you asked a question. Can you walk us through that?
Certainly can. It was the blog. It was my version of Four Weddings and a Funeral. And it's interesting. You can have all these things happening, and you may think that, gee, life's unfair. You know, I'm really despondent about these things. They're just all full and intense and big and sometimes unpleasant. But you know what, David? This is life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the most profound statements that I've ever heard is the fact that life sometimes is unfair.
That's right.
Life does have pain. There is no life, even when a person is happy, that will not automatically exclude that individual from having something hurtful or having a challenge, crisis, a death, all those other things that can make life really tough sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think our acceptance of what is life will make it easier for us to live it instead of fighting against and struggling against the realities that we are living. Quickly, Michael J. Fox, Parkinson's disease,
mm-hmm.
He could have struggled against that and made it his enemy for the rest of his life. And instead he said, I've adapted to it and I've made it my friend because this is my reality.
Powerful insight. Kita, we're just about out of time, but I know you've got a great website. Can you give us that information one more time?
Certainly can. The website is kitaschvap.com, and spelling it again, KitaSzpak.com.
Kita, thank you so much for helping all of us get more in touch with happiness, sometimes an elusive thing, but what you're saying is, look, it's available, it's right there, be positive, focus on the good things happening in your life. Thanks for that message. Again, Kita Schbach, I'm Dr. David DeRose, and we've got to go. Hopefully today's edition of American Indian Living has helped you on your path to a happier life.
This is Life Talk Radio.